Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills, overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news, the story, behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And the views of our guest, and our guest this evening is going to be Ralph Epperson, and we're going to be talking about the occult influence here in the United States. Now, most people really don't understand what's going on in the world today. We find ourselves enmeshed in a war over in the Middle East, and things keep getting worse and worse, and more Iraqis and Americans are dying. We see what's happening in the Near East and the increasing threat of war as far as Israel is concerned. Then we come home and we find out that we have a massive immigration problem, that the government will not enforce our immigration laws. We have a catch and release program, so if someone comes in from a terrorist country, and they're caught coming across the border violating our laws, what do? Why, we immediately, of course, release them, tell them to come back for a deportation hearing in a month, knowing full well they're not going to do that. Now, why would you do that if we were really involved in a war on terrorism? Why wouldn't you seal your border so that terrorists couldn't come into the country? And there's so many unanswered questions about what's going on today. How do you begin to make sense out of the fact that America, which was once a Christian country, why, of course, we can't mention God or have prayers in our schools, and yet, of course, the Supreme Court can open every day when the choir comes in and says, God save the United States and this honorable court. God save the United States and this honorable court, and yet the Supreme Court will tell you that it violates the wall of separation between church and state. If you were to mention God in a classroom, what is this really all about? How do you make any sense out of we find the leader of the National Association of Evangelicals is actually a homosexual, and not simply that, but he's been using that power to undermine Christianity in this country, writing letters to various senators, telling them, certainly not to pursue various things having to do with the Military Appropriations Act that would allow them to have prayer in our academies, in our service academies, military academies, and of course that so that a minister could pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And here the head of the National Association of Evangelicals is attacking that concept, which he did very effectively. So much of what's going on doesn't make sense unless you understand the occult forces at work in America today. And that at the time America was founded, there were powerful occult and secret societies here, and they exist to this very day. Now, today, the Masonic movement is doing everything they can to play this down. The History Channel is putting out all sorts of programs saying, oh, there's nothing wrong with Masonry. They're putting out sorts of books out to tell you there's nothing wrong with Masonry. And most Masons are good people, and that's absolutely true. Most Masons are good people. However, as Manly P. Hall said in his book, Lectures on Ancient Philosophy, and Manly P. Hall was a 33rd degree Mason, who when he died, the Scottish Rite Masonic magazine said, Manly P. Hall was the greatest, I believe, and Ralph will probably correct me, exact terminology, but the greatest of all Masonic philosophers, or many times believed to be, or said to be, the greatest of Masonic philosophers. And of course, what Manly P. Hall had said is, Masonry is a fraternity within a fraternity, an outer fraternity of men who are trying to do good things, but an inner fraternity of men who study the Arcanum and the Ancanorum, which is indeed the secret, and the secret of secrets. Well, Ralph, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing fine, Dr. Stan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine, and thank you so much for being with us. And are you aware of the fact that the Masons are doing everything they can right now, I think because of the programs such as those that you sponsor and those that we do and a few other people, trying to make the American people understand that there are powerful, sinister, satanic forces out there and work at the highest levels of our society, undermining the very foundation of this nation?
Yes, I would say, I'm aware of that. Yes, that's true.
In fact, I understand you were actually on one of those History Channel programs, weren't you?
Yes, sir. I was invited to be a guest on the History Channel. I guess we're back in April. Well, I think we taped it in April or May or something, and I think they shot it. They played it in August or September. I don't remember exact dates, just a few months ago. And I was very pleased. That was quite an honor, I thought, to be invited, because they don't like to cover the materials that you and I like to talk about, but they did, and I was very pleased that they gave me a chance. I thought they were very fair, by the way. They seemed to be willing to give me a chance to explain what I wanted to explain, and I was very pleased with that.
What points were you actually able to make in this interview that you did that was shown on the History Channel?
Well, I was able to discuss the evidence that it was the Masons that set the that designed the Great Seal of the United States, and that they had a sinister motive for doing so, and that the other people generally took the position that that was not true. That in fact, they even had a 32nd or 33rd degree Mason on, explaining that there's nothing sinister about it. And I was saying that's simply not true. They're lying to us.
All right, fine. Well, tell us what is the sinister implication of the Great Seal? And for the, certainly for our listeners out there who do not understand, the Great Seal was established sometime in about 1781, 1782? When was that actually established?
82.
And of course, initially on the front of this was an eagle, you know, with we see on one side of the back of the dollar bill, but the other on the back side, hidden from public view, was a pyramid capped by an all-seeing eye. This eye, it's not simply an eye, but you can actually see the beam is coming out of that eye, and the notation beneath it, Novus Ordo Seclorum. Now, they will tell you, of course, that the pyramid actually represents America's future, but it really doesn't, does it?
No. Well, it does. It represents our future. In fact, the top part, this is what I was explaining in that television show on the History Channel. Annuit Septis means announcing the conception of or the birth of. Now, they like to believe that it means from apparently Virgil or something written many centuries ago.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening is Ralph Hefferson, who's certainly one of the most knowledgeable people in the country about Masonry. He's been studying it, about 25 years now?
That's right. I started on the Masons about 1983 or 84, something like that.
All right, well, that's the better part of 23 years then. And Ralph had the opportunity of being on a program on the History Channel where, of course, it was his contention that the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, the Great Seal of the United States, which was hidden from public view until 1935, it was actually placed there back in 1782. And it was an occult emblem. And it was on the back of the Great Seal of the United States, and it had been placed there by people who were either Masonic or associated with the other secret societies, that like the Rosicrucians, which, of course, is really part of Masonry today. And, of course, hidden then until 1935, and now displayed there proudly to show the occult ownership, really, or domination of our society. Why don't you explain what your view of the pyramid on the back of the dollar bill, capped by the glorified eye, is, and then perhaps you could tell us what the Masons say that it represents.
Okay, let's do that step by step. Annuit Septis means announcing the birth of. Novus Ordo Seclorum means the new world order, new order of the world. The word secular in our dictionaries means a world view of a man without a God, and that's exactly what the word seclorum means in Latin. So now our founding fathers were committing this nation to a new world order back in 1782.
But it's really a secular order, isn't it? In other words, it's a godless society.
Exactly. Well, it's a godless in the sense that we don't believe that the New World Order will not be a God based upon the God of the Bible.
All right, fine. They, certainly they have their God, but it's not the God we worship.
That's correct. And, of course, the Bible teaches that the God that they worship is not a God at all. And that's, but they believe he is, and that's the point.
Well, now, of course, then, what is the significance of the pyramid? What is the significance of the glorified eye above the pyramid? And why is it sitting above, floating there, rather than on the capstone?
Well, the pyramid is a symbol of the Great Pyramid of Giza in Cairo, Egypt, and the one that we've all seen so many times with the rooms and the chambers inside. Of course, our pyramid doesn't have any rooms. It doesn't show any. It's just a drawing, but it represents that pyramid in Egypt.
And, of course, this really was an occult emblem, a symbol of the ancient mystery religions, wasn't it?
That's correct. In fact, there are even Egyptologists now admitting that pyramid was never built as a tomb. It was built as a temple of initiation into the ancient mystery religion.
And then, of course, what's the significance of the eye, the glorified eye, and the triangle above the pyramid?
Well, the Masons call the pyramid a house, so that means that it's going to be a place for someone or something to live someday. And when that eye lands on top of the pyramid, then the New World Order will commence. It'll start officially on that day. So that being that's represented or symbolized by the eye will land officially inside and take up residence, and then the New World Order will start.
And, of course, what is that the emblem of the... we've heard it's the Eye of Horus. We have heard that, of course, it is the Eye of... the great architect of the universe, who is their God. They don't worship the God of the Bible, because certainly the Masons would, in the Masonic countries, pardon me, in the Muslim countries, would worship the Muslim God, and in the Hindu countries, they'd worship the Hindu God. And it's really not the God of the Bible at all, although we're told that. It is really, of course, the great architect of the universe, isn't it?
That's correct. And that's the name that the Masons give to their God. Let's go back to, first of all, what is it that the Masons are required to do or to believe in when they join? There's only one requirement. Of course, they have to be the right age, and they can't be handicapped. They can't be too young or too old. They've got to be male. They've got to be, you can't be black, because the blacks are not permitted to join.
Because they have their own branch of Masonry, though. Right. What is it?
Prince Hall.
Right.
By the way, there's a website, I just looked at it a couple of days ago, that says that they're now... they're recognizing them as official Masonic lodges, but there's no effort apparently yet to join or merge the two. In other words, to let blacks join the white only lodge. They're not white only; they're only excluding blacks. In other words, Spanish can join, Chinese, Hindus, whatever else. And as long as you believe in a God, and that God is called the Great you are taught inside Masonic Lodge that the God that they worship is called the Great Architect of the Universe.
All right, fine. Of course, this is a secret society, and the last thing they want is for the public to really know what this is about. And even most Masons don't know what it's about. In fact, if you read Morals and Dogma, written, of course, back in the 1870s by Albert Pike, which was, of course, the book was handed out to every Mason up until the 1970s, and even the book that's given out now, Bridge to the Light, has all the references to Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma. But in Morals and Dogma, Pike actually says, we intentionally deceive the initiates. We intentionally deceive them, and he makes this point several times. Everything is based upon deception. I don't know why anybody would want to join an organization where the man who laid out, of course, the whole pattern for all of the various rituals openly said, we want to deceive them. But then, of course, if they told them the truth, most people would never join.
That's correct. And that's exactly why they keep it secret. I love to ask the Masons, whenever I get a chance, I just simply say, listen, if your group is so great and got such noble ideals, why don't you open it up to the public and we'll all join? We certainly all want to have noble ideals, but they don't do that, and there's a reason for that. And the reason is because their God, the great architect of the universe, is in truth Lucifer, Satan, the devil. And that's a matter of easy proof. It's very simple to prove, and I can do it in about a minute or two if you want me to go ahead.
Well, let's talk about what the people, the Masons, say now. When of course, you talk about this great seal, and of course, it's announcing the birth of the Novo Ordo Seclorum, the new secular state, the new world order. Call it what you will. That's what it's really all about. It's based upon the mystery religions. That's why the pyramid is there. And the eye hovering over the top, the glorified eye, represents the eye of the great architect of the universe, who is not the God of the Bible. But, of course, when the average Mason joins us, he honestly thinks it's a Christian society. Doesn't it take him a while before he begins to understand that they worship a different God?
Well, that's it. They start slowly showing him, step by step, that the God that he worships, if he believes in the God of the Bible, is not the true God. And that's where we can get into this thing very simply. You can do it in a matter of steps. Step number one, the Mason, when he goes through the three degrees, they call them, of the Blue Lodge, the first three degrees, he goes through there without any preparation. He walks in the door, has no idea what's going to happen to him, and suddenly he's going through a ritual. And he's walked around several times, and then he's brought before the, I'm going to call him just simply the president, just to make sure this is the top official inside the lodge. And he asked the vice president, who brought the Mason, the initiate, to the president, he asked the vice president, what do you ask for this initiate? And the man says, light, L-I-G-H-T, light. And they don't explain what it is, that's it, they just say light.
Now, doesn't he actually have a blindfold on, and doesn't he have a noose around his neck, and his chest has been bared, and his pants leg is rolled up, and he really is not in control of much of anything at the time.
No. Then at the second degree, the same question is asked, and the vice president says, more light. And then in the third degree, he's told further light. And then at the end of the third degree, the only time that they explain what light is in those three degrees that I can find anyway, is that they say that light is the true knowledge of deity. Now, a Christian should say, and a Jew should say, wait a minute, I thought I got the true knowledge of deity in my synagogue or in my church, or in the Bible, but that's not true. Notice the Maester claiming you'll get the true knowledge of deity inside the lodge. And that's where it stops. Most Masons stop at the third degree. If you want to go on, you got to pay for it. You go through rituals, and I think it takes a couple of weekends or whatever, and then you're all through. You become a 32nd degree Mason in the Scottish Rite. There's 3 plus 29 more for a total of 32. Now, then, if you do get the copy of the book Morals and Dogma, you read who the light bearer is on page 321. It was announced in the 14th degree. You go through the 14th degree, and then they gave you the book, Morals and Dogma, they used to. And then, and you read that book in the 14th degree explanation, you read, quote, Lucifer the light bearer, now Lucifer is the name of the devil in the Bible, Lucifer the light bearer, is it he who bears the light? Doubt it not. That's an exact quote. So wait a minute, now you figure, wait a minute, I ask for light, and then I'm told that light represents the true knowledge of deity, and then in the 14th degree they told me that Lucifer is a light bearer. And then they say you've got to read, study, and reflect, that we can't say it directly, because if we did, you'd figure it out, and we're not going to tell you directly, you've got to think about it. And when you do, you say, wait a minute, I ask for light, light is the true knowledge of deity, and then I learned that Lucifer is the light bearer. That means that I've been asking for light from Lucifer, the true knowledge of deity.
That's, and of course, you know, if you read Morals and Dogma, and I've read the book through several times, it is totally confusing. I mean, they have all these phrases, historical phrases, and talking about the Manicheans, and talking about all these groups most people have never heard of. And you read this thing through, and they come up with all sorts of contradictory statements, like, you know, in the Garden of Eden, why it was the demon that told Adam and Eve not to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but then the angel of light came and told them to go ahead and eat it, and he gave them freedom. And you're reading this, and you say, wait a minute, that isn't the way the story goes. What you do not understand is that there are two gods. Everything is dualistic. It's this Gnostic idea, and maybe they have perverted Gnosticism, or maybe this is what the Gnostics believe. But they believe that there are two gods. There's the God that we worship, and then there's the true God. And this, of course, is the hidden secret of Masonry and of the ancient mystery religions going back thousands of years, a secret that has been passed down, certainly, by the sages, by the elect, and by the princes. to only a very, very few, who once they tapped into the knowledge, gained tremendous power. And we'll pick up the story there, Ralph.
Okay, that's fine. So now we've got a... But I want to correct something. I said that page 321 is in the 14th degree. It's not. It's in the 19th degree. It's where that page 321 is in the 19th. I remember when I first read the book, I thought it was 14, but I just reread the book, or at least I checked it out for a lecture I was giving here in Tucson, and I found out it was in the 19th. So I've now corrected my own recollections. Okay, the 19th degree, you learn that Lucifer is the light bearer. And then you're supposed to conclude that, gee, wait a minute, Lucifer is the true knowledge of deity. And that means that the great architect of the universe is Lucifer, Satan, the devil. Now, by the way, notice that they call him, you know this, Dr. Stan, I'm sure, and we've talked about it before, that they call their God the great architect of the universe. Now, what is an architect? First of all, the Bible says that in the beginning, God created the universe, which implies that there was suddenly something out of nothing. There has to be, if there was a beginning, unless the universe has been there forever. But in a book called Legenda by Albert Pike, the man who wrote the Morals and Dogma, he says that to believe the universe was created out of nothing is to believe a monstrous absurdity. So in other words, the universe has been here forever. Now I can scientifically prove that that's statement is the most monstrous, is the monstrous absurdity, the fact that there was no creation. The universe had to have a beginning because of the second law of thermodynamics. The energy cannot have been eternal. It simply can't be because it's burning itself out. And stars burn out. And it's like a candle. A candle, even though it's lit right now, someday will burn itself out. Our sun's going to go blank. It's going to burn itself out. So it can't be. That means it had to have a beginning, or it would have been burned out by now. So that means that Pike is wrong, that the universe had to have a beginning. And so to believe that, according to him, is a monstrous absurdity. Now, the Bible says that it was Jesus who created the universe. And if that's true, then Pike just said that Jesus is a liar. He's a fraud. Isn't that true? Christian, if you're listening to me right now, think about this. Your leader, the leader of the worldwide Masonic movement, according to a statue in Washington, D.C., just said that your belief in Jesus as the creator of the universe is a monstrous absurdity.
Well, of course, Ralph, this is the reason that there is such this anti-Christian attitude. They want to get Christ out of Christmas. They want to get nativity scenes out of public places. They're doing everything they can to destroy our belief in Christianity, because it's at the highest levels, not only of Masonry, but of all the ancillary organizations, and believe me, there are dozens of them, but they all, of course, come back to this very same concept. In fact, it was written by Manly P. Hall in his book, The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, and this is what he wrote. When the Mason learns that the key to the warrior on the block is the proper application of the dynamo of living power, he has learned the mystery of his craft. The seething energies of Lucifer are in his hands. That's Manly P. Hall, certainly one of the leading Masons of all time, the leading Masonic philosopher of modern times, who openly acknowledges that when the warrior on the block has found the secret of his craft, he'll have the seething energies of Lucifer in his hands. And ladies and gentlemen, if you give your life to Lucifer, you're going to have tremendous advantages in this world, and you're going to spend eternity in hell. And that's why they've even taken hell out of our churches. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this evening is Ralph Everson, and we're talking really about the Masonic influence in our society today. And, of course, it was the Masonic influence in the Supreme Court of the United States, where between 1941 and 1971, the Masons controlled the Supreme Court of the United States in majorities of from 5-4. To 8-1. 8 Masons, 1 non-Mason on the Supreme Court, and it was during those years that they took God and prayer out of our schools and began laying the foundation for where we are today. They have always hated Christianity. Their purpose, their goal, has been to move us from being a Christian nation to a secular nation. And, well, Ralph, what happened when you accosted the Masons and you pointed out that their emblem is on the back of the dollar bill and the God they worship is not the Christian God?
Well, they say it's simply not true, and of course they deny it, and then they take the advice of one of their great leaders back in the 1700s, Adam Weishaupt, and attack you personally. Weishaupt said if you find someone that writes something, of course that was the major means of communication back then, if you find someone that writes something and you can't dissuade him, then you attack him, and that's what they do. By the way, Dr. Stan, I want to mention something that might be of some interest to you, and I'm sure you already know this, but your listeners. I want you to notice, you know, we had there was just a report a couple of months ago or so of a school in, like, the South someplace that had a picture of Jesus in the hall and hallway and for, like, 30-some years. And the ACLU or someone came and claimed that we have to separate church and state. So some court ruled that they had to take that picture down. Now, I'm going to ask the question, if we're going to separate church and state, then we've got to go to the Second Amendment of the Constitution, I think it's the second, that reads, or maybe it's the first, Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of a religion. That means then that Congress passed a law requiring that school district to put that picture up, and now they're saying that the Congress has no right to do that, have no authority. In other words, the only time that the court can separate church and state is when Congress passes a law.
Well, but of course, Ralph, what they did was the Masons on the Supreme Court simply changed the meaning of the words and said, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And they said, well, that applies not only to Congress, but then the state and the local community. And then they took the 14th Amendment, which had to do with slavery, and they twisted the meanings of the 14th Amendment, molded it with the First Amendment, because they wanted to destroy the Christian foundation of this country. And then they said, well, what it really means is not only Congress shall make no law, but that certainly the state will make no law, the county, the city, the school board cannot have that picture up there. And it was basically a total distortion of what the First Amendment was. And everybody, of course, with any intelligence, knew that. It is simply they bamboozled the people of this country. But the reason they've gotten away with it is because people do not understand that we have secret societies in America that hate Christianity, that hate freedom, that are moving us towards a new world order and a new world religion, which will worship their God, but that's not the God of the Bible.
Can you think of a better way to show to the American people that the Constitution is null and void than by arguing my position? Ask those who want to remove the cross or the whatever it is, the picture. Say to them, show me the law that Congress passed that required the city to do that, or the school district. They're going to remove some crosses in San Diego. Where did Congress pass a law that required San Diego to put those up? And then they say, well, no, it really means, and I said, no, it reads Congress, and Congress is defined by the Constitution as a legislature consisting of a Senate and a House. So you've got to show me a law, or the court has no jurisdiction.
Well, of course, the thing is, had the people in the Senate and the Congress wanted to have negated this, they could have passed a law, and then, of course, they could have applied Article 3, Section 2, and said the Supreme Court could not in any way interfere with the law we passed. This is what they did recently with the Military Commissions Act. And, of course, now they can take away the right of habeas corpus. And it's only, of course, for non-citizens, but you can't get into court to prove you're a citizen because, of course, the courts can't intervene with the military commissions. And this is the blueprint for dictatorship. They know that. They just don't want the American people to know. But they could have done that with the prayer. They did not do that. They could have done it with partial birth abortion or abortion. All of these things, of course, show this tremendous hatred for life. Why? Because God created life, and God created the heavens and the earth, and they want to destroy human life. That's what abortion is all about. 50 million sacrifices to Lucifer, the god of this world. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Ralph Hefferson. Well, Ralph, what did the... certainly, I have not seen that History Channel release that where you're in, but basically, did you get them to admit that their God is not the God of the Bible?
We didn't get into that, but we did get into, because I had to show them that you can prove that it was the Masons who designed the Great Seal. It's very easy to do.
How can you do that?
Okay, here's what I would suggest you do. In fact, if anyone wants to see this, get a dollar bill out of your wallet or purse, and let's go through it. And then let's go over to the eagle side, and you'll notice that the eagle has its wings spread open. You can count the feathers. So I would urge you to magnify it as best you can, big as you can make it, and then count the feathers, and you'll find that there are 32 feathers on its left wing, and 33 feathers on its right wing. Now, did the artist make a mistake? No, not at all. He was telling you that the Masons, who have 32 degrees, then the 33rd, which runs all 32 degrees, is significant. And you'll notice the bird is looking towards the right with the 33 feathers on it. So that means that it is a Masonic eagle. It's not American eagle. Because the American Eagle doesn't have odd numbers on it on one wing and even numbers on the other. But notice the thing above the eagle is what they call a burst. And you'll see that it looks like clouds or something. And then there's a six-pointed star drawn from 13 five-pointed stars. Now, that's not the star of Solomon or the star of David or whatever. The six-pointed star goes way back to Egyptian times. But now, let's draw the lines through the stars to show you that there is a six-pointed star there, disregarding the star in the middle. And you'll notice that you use 12 of the stars, and you draw one triangle pointed down and one triangle pointed up. And now, with those lines drawn, let's pick it up, if you just imagine, and then transport it over to the pyramid side and drop it down. And now you've drawn a six-pointed star over the pyramid. And when you do, the top triangle starts at the triangle with the eye in it, and then goes down to the sides of the alongside the pyramid, and then reaches the base, and you draw the line across, and you've now drawn a triangle. And then you go to the upper, to the line underneath the little triangle with the eye in it, and draw that line across as long as the base of the triangle of the pyramid is. And then draw the two lines down to where they join just above the second O in Ordo. Now you've drawn a six-pointed star over the pyramid and the eye with the triangle. And then if you'll notice that five of the 6 points point to letters. And the first one...
Hold that thought for just a moment,
okay,
Ralph. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Ralph is simply pointing out that if you take a six-pointed star and overlay it on the pyramid there... then on the left side of the back of the dollar bill, there are 6 points on the star, and five of those point to letters, and those letters spell out, what do they spell out?
Okay, well, you go to about 10 o'clock, you'll notice that one point points to the letter A in Annuit, and then the one at noon points to a blank space between Annuit and Septa. So there's A and then nothing, and then over at the 2 o'clock it's S, and down at 8 o'clock, it's N, and then down at 6 o'clock, it's O, and then over to 4 o'clock, it's M. A-S-N-O-M is what they call an anagram. And these people love codes. They love hiding things in codes. Now, there's a word in your English dictionary called an anagram. It's defined as scrambling of the letters of a word to conceal the real word. So you take A-S-N-O-M and ask, could you make another word out of it? And you can. M-A-S-O-N, meaning Masons.
Of course, a lot of people are going to say, but that was just a coincidence. This happened that way.
And that's why the eagle has 32 feathers and 33. The artist made a mistake.
All right. Of course, the thing is, of course, that people really don't understand that there is an ancient plan. In fact, for our listeners, I suggest you go to President Bush's last inaugural speech. It was the 20th of January, 2004. And next to the last paragraph, he was talking about, you know, when our founders declared a new order of the ages, when, of course, our men fell row on row in pursuit of a a union based on liberty, when our people marched in righteous outrage beneath the banner Freedom Now, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Well, of course, if you understand esoteric writing, this is how you confuse people. What he basically said is when our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. What is the ancient hope he was talking about? Well, if you go into the internet and Google in ancient hope, pardon me, the new order of the ages, you'll find out it's the Novus Ordo Seclorum on the back of the dollar bill. They have always known, the people in the secret societies have always understood that America one day would lead the world into the new world order and the new world religion. They were going to then use our power, our military and financial power, to transform the world. Now, this was never the Christian objective, never the Christian goal. But there were always two forces in America. One was the Christian, the other was the occult. Going back to the secret societies, were all founded in the mystery religion. So this is where, whether it be the religion of the Templars, or of the Rosicrucians, or of the Masons, or of the Gnostics, or the Kabbalists, or of the any of the ancient religions, or the Magi. They all understood this. Remember the Magi who came in search of the Christ child. They understood this secret message. And that is, of course, that, you know, there were the two gods. There was the one God who was the God that the Christians would be worshipping in sometime in the future. And then there was the true God, who was the great architect. And they have various names for them. It doesn't really matter, but it is this dualistic concept that most people do not understand. There really are people who worship a different God, who have a different outlook. And, of course, they've been very well rewarded for their betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead, Ralph.
Well, yeah, that's only one of the many clues that the Masons were directly involved. If you'll notice, all over the back and the front of the dollar bill, everything's in multiples of 13, or number 13, or multiples thereof. And that's the point. That 13 is a very strategic number to the Masons. I've got a copy of a magazine, of a page out of a New Age magazine, is what they used to call their little journal for the 33rd degree. It's published, I think, once a month. And in there it said that the 13 was a magic number of the Masons. And so you can see it that they refer to the 13 leaves, the 13 oil branches, 13 arrows, and 13 stripes, whatever it is.
They're talking about the back of the dollar bill.
Yes, right. But that is, it is also a very strategic number because you'll find it everywhere. Number 13 is everywhere.
Yeah, because they're going to say, well, that was the 13 colonies. But people don't understand everything has a dual meaning. One for us common folks, and then one for the people who are, of course, understand the secrets.
Now, I have a book written by a witch by the name of Doreen Valente or something like that. And in there she says 13 is the number of Lucifer, Satan,
right.
The devil. Isn't that interesting? So the Masons have the number 13 related to Lucifer, Satan, the devil, if you're a witch. And I think they know that as well, because that's exactly who their god is. So that's why we had 13 states. They waited till there were 13. Notice 1776, 7 and 6 is 13. July the 4th has 13 letters in it. American Eagle has 13 letters, and God We Trust is 13. Annu Acceptus has 13. I could go on.
How many steps are there? How many levels in that pyramid?
13 levels, isn't that?
13 levels.
On the pyramid, yes.
And people say, well, this really couldn't be true. And you have to understand, if you read their writings, they will tell you how they hide their emblems in plain sight. You read a book called The Secret Teachings of All Ages, written by Manly P. Hall. Of course, it was a 33rd degree Mason. But then he went to the upper degrees, and there are degrees far above the 33rd degree, which most Masons have never heard of. And this is where you really begin to get into the secret power that is there, of course, at the cost of your eternal soul. But, you know, this is the problem that we have, is that nobody wants to discuss this sort of thing or their influence on what's going on in the world today. When you understand this, you can understand why they want to take Christ out of Christmas. Why they want to take down crosses all across America. Why they will not allow the mention of God or prayer or even the Ten Commandments in their schools. And then we wonder if we don't have a set of values, why some of our children go wild and go off the deep end and involved in murder, because they've been told, and the Supreme Court decision back in 1980 was basically, it doesn't do any good to post the Ten Commandments, because if you did, they wouldn't do any good unless the young people read them. If they read them, they might meditate upon them. If they meditated upon the Ten Commandments, they might obey them. And if they obeyed them, why, that would be a violation of the wall of separation between church and state. Isn't that logical? And so we've told our young people, you be the determinant of what's right and wrong. If it feels good, do it. That was the old slogan. Or Aleister Crowley, who was the father of modern-day Satanism, said it better, do what thou wilt, for that is the whole of the law. And the average person doesn't understand. This is never taught in our seminaries. Most of our ministers do not understand that we are involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. Go ahead, Ralph.
Oh, your point's well taken, Dr. Stan. There's a religion being taught in our schools today called humanism, secular humanism. That's our term, but it's not theirs. They just call it humanism. But you can read those humanist manifestos that state what their view of this religion is. The Supreme Court's ruled that humanism is an official religion. It's got a 501c3, I've been told, which means it's tax-free. You can donate to it and get the deducted off of your income taxes. So it's a legitimate religion, and yet it's being taught in our schools today. So that's, the humanists don't care about separation of church and state unless the church is a Christianity. And they don't mind having Islam or Buddhism taught in their schools, but you can't teach Christianity. And that's, of course, the whole purpose of this thing is why. Now, Dr. Stan, I don't know if you've read my third book called Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity.
Yes, in fact, we carry it, Ralph, and we certainly recommend that book. We think both of your books are excellent. And for our listeners out there, Ralph has written The Hidden Hand, or The Unseen Hand, The New World Order, and then his third book, Masonry, The Conspiracy Against Christianity. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. But before I forget, Ralph, I want to give you an opportunity to get out your website, because Ralph has a lot of great information, and we recommend it to you. How can people get in touch with you, Ralph? And how can people get a copy of that free book that you give away?
Okay. Let's do it step by step. I have a website. If you want to go there and see what I've got, you know, to offer you, you can read these books that I've written, and also see the videos that I've produced and the booklets. It's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, and then there's a dash, R-A-L-P-H, dash, Epperson, E-P-P, is in Peter, E-R-S-O-N.com. Ralph-Epperson.com. Go there, and my email address is there, my home phone number is there, my street address is there, it's all there. You can get in touch with me. And I do indeed give a free book if you want one. It's called A Review of Morals and Dogma. People say, as you've already said, Dr. Stan, it's a very boring book. I read the book back in 1984, and I couldn't believe how boring it was. But I had to read it, because someone had to. I knew absolutely no one who had read that book up until then. When I got a hold of it, I read it, and I realized we had to get into the Masonic Lodge and find out what, not get into it, meaning joining. I will never join the Masons. I never have. But we had to get into their material, and that's what I've done. So I've written a review of it. It's 90-some pages long. I don't charge for it. If you want to make a donation to help cover my expenses, and about $5, $7, $5, $6, $7, whatever it is, would help. But even then, I don't care. I'll send it out to you free. Just call me or write to my email address on the Internet, and I'll send you a free copy.
And what's the telephone number again?
800. That's my 800 number. 800-422-3888. Of course, that's an 800 number, which means I pay for the call. So I'm really a nice guy. I do this nationwide all the time. I get calls from all over the country.
And I think Ralph does a good job. He's got a lot of great information. He's read so many of these books, which are very hard to get, which are published for the Masons, so they can begin studying it. And eventually, of course, they eventually come to the conclusion, the realization, that the God of the Bible is not the true God. This is one of the inferior gods. The true God the one that they worship, of course, is the true maker of heaven and earth, and that is the great architect that they worship. And as incredible as it may seem, once you understand that there are two gods, this dualistic philosophy, and you can read Morals and Dogma, and suddenly all of these incredible things that Albert Pike is saying, they all begin to make sense. And suddenly you are able to see behind this veil that has been concealed for so long that actually they've killed people to prevent this information from getting out. And believe me, it wasn't simply Captain Morgan back in the 1820s or earlier, but they still kill people today. I mean, remember that these people worship a different God. And they have to keep this secret. You can go to Washington, D.C. today. Every major building in Washington, D.C., every federal building, has the cornerstone laid by the Masons. Literally every federal building across the United States has the cornerstone laid by the Masons, and even many of the county courthouses, as it is here where I am, will have their plaque there. Now, you couldn't put a Christian plaque on those buildings, but you could put a Masonic plaque. Why? Because, of course, they are a religious organization. They will deny it. They'll use all sorts of gobbledygook, but the truth of the matter is they are a religious organization. The Masonic Lodge is a church, and it's honoring the God that they worship. Well, if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, we'd be glad to put it to Ralph. We've only got a few minutes left, but I think this is such an important issue. If you go to Washington, D.C. today, there are something like 23 or 27 zodiacs. What's the zodiac have to do with Washington, D.C.? I mean, I thought we were a Christian nation, and we were a Christian nation, because there's a tremendous amount of Christian symbology there, but there's also the occult symbology. And here you have this eternal battle between Satan and Christianity, the God that we worship, emblazed in the architecture of our nation's capital, the outlay of our nation's capital. They understand what's going on. They just don't want you to understand. What we're seeing is a long-range plan, and it's coming to its fulfillment today as we are in pursuit of that ancient plan that is meant to be fulfilled. I hope many of our listeners out there will go to the... And you can go to whitehouse.gov and pull down the President's 20th of January 2004 speech and read the second to the last paragraph. I think that's where it is. When our founders declared a new order of the ages, they were acting on an ancient hope that is meant to be fulfilled. Let's go to Ray. Hi, Ray. Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I do. My question was, have the Masons infiltrated the U.S. Post Office? I've heard that they have.
Do you have anything about that, Tolrao?
I would say this. The Masons take vows to protect and support their brothers. And sometimes a Mason gets into position of authority, and then he makes sure that his fellow Masons get the secondary positions or middle management. Right. But I have no knowledge or proof that they infiltrated the post office.
Well, I'll tell you, wait, they will get into a police force, and then, of course, that everybody, of course, has to be a Mason to get promoted. They do this in certain military, and they've had a dominant position in the military. They've had a dominant position in politics all across our country.
By the way, Dexter, while you're talking about that, notice this as you pull up behind the car. Notice you'll find little round plaques on the back. On the driver's side, they're about, 3 inches across, and the purpose of those is to identify the driver as being a Mason. So if the policeman that stops him parks his vehicle or his car or motorcycle behind him, he'll walk by those symbols and see, look at that, oh, this guy's a Mason, and then he won't give him a ticket.
I know somebody that, this is interesting, the person was at an intersection and a car backed up and, hit the person in the car. I won't say who, but it hit the person in the car, and then that person in the car, wanted to, call out to a police officer that came by and said that, that the person in front of him backed into her. And apparently what it was, the guy just walked out of the car, and as if nothing happened at all, he had a glass of Coke in his hand, and the police got went and... practically arrested the other person that was that he ran into.
Let me tell you, Ray, they're in the courts and many, if you have a Masonic judge or certainly Masons on the jury, you can't get a fair trial in America today. Why? Because you can't have a free society when you have people who belong to secret societies. And there are over 2 million Masons in America today. And they, believe me, they're in the Catholic Church, and I know you're Catholic.
Yeah.
They're in the Protestant Church. They're in the Jewish religion. They're infiltrating like termites. I mean, it has been said that up to 40% of the ministers in the Southern Baptist Convention one time and within recent years were members of the Masons, and they were in key positions within the Christian religion across America. Do you know a better way to destroy Christianity than to have people who worship a different God working within our seminaries and certainly working within our religious organizations? Ladies and gentlemen, we're involved in a war for survival. And nobody's going to be telling, hey, Ray, we're out of time.
Yeah, okay.
God bless. Thanks for calling. Well, Ralph, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, there might be some interest in, if I may just briefly point out that my third book is called Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity. And in there I prove with their own rituals, understand these are official, ones written by Albert Pike, you can get them and read them yourself, whether you're a Mason or not. I'm not a Mason, I bought them from a Mason in Montana. You can prove with your own eyes that at the 30th degree, the Mason takes a vow to destroy Christianity, period. In fact, Albert Pike calls that, quote, the true purpose, unquote, of Masonry. The true purpose of Masonry is the destruction of Christianity, and yet thousands, if not millions, of Christians are members of the Masonic Lodge, and I want to know why.
But they don't understand. They really have never heard the sort of things we're talking about tonight. They certainly, probably most of them have never read Morals and Dogma. They've gone through the first 3 degrees. They have the camaraderie. They get ahead in work. And if you are were to leave the Masonic religion, they would come after you. You have a good job? You won't have a good job very long, and you'll get fired, they'll harass you, and this sort of thing happens right here in America, which is why people who are Masons very often may drop out, but they're never going to renounce Masonry publicly. In fact, certainly our good friend Ed Decker was actually poisoned, at least on one occasion, and almost died, because if he had spoken out against these cults. So I'm glad that you're still alive and well, Ralph.
Yeah, Dr. Stan, so am I. Isn't that interesting?
Well, I think that probably the Lord's looking after you, and we have to look upon to the Lord for protection, because what we do, what you do, try to expose this organized evil, and that's really what it is. It can be a very, very dangerous thing. But I think the people on the other side are really frightened. I think that there's more and more awareness out there. Certainly, I think that the Masons are losing membership, because ministry is definitely having an effect.
Well, they not only that, they're starting to advertise for members, which is in violation of the very principles they hold. You're not supposed to ask people to join, but I've got a bumper sticker, a copy of a bumper sticker in my lectures on the Masons. I've got a billboard in Michigan. It's asking them to join, find out, join the Masons, get involved, and that's not proper. They're not supposed to ask. And the reason, I think, is because then if you figure it out, they can say, listen, we didn't ask you to join. You wanted to join on your own. And that's why they're violating, because you're right, Dr. Stan, they're losing members. In fact, I just read John Robinson's book. We read it again. Their membership is only 8 to 9% active. That was only 9% of their members show up for a meeting.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest has been Ralph Everson. Ralph, thank you so very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
God bless you, Dr. Stan. Keep up the good work.
You and you too. Bye-bye. All right, fine. Well, that's Ralph, and I always enjoy having Ralph on. And I think that we have to get back to this issue. Masonry is simply one of the groups referred to as the Brotherhood of Darkness. And, of course, if you haven't read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, we take you into this. Certainly, I suggest, if you'd like to learn more, Ralph's books are excellent. The Unseen Hand, The New World Order, and Masonry Conspiracy Against Christianity. You can go up on our webpage at RadioLiberty.com, or certainly we can send you a catalog, and we have a number of things on Masonry. We have the Unholy Alliance, a book written by a dentist who actually was trying to expose Masonry, and of course the very forces of hell came against him and destroyed his life and his practice and his family. But we still have his book, and we think it's an important book. That's Unholy Alliance by Dr. James Wardner. And then, of course, we have the book, Masonry, A Friend or Foe. We have, pardon me, that's a DVD. We actually have a number of various books on Masonry going into the background of this whole Luciferian movement that permeates every aspect of our society today. And when you understand that, then so many of the things that are taking place really are no longer, of course, puzzling. Let me suggest one excellent DVD we carry. It's called The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning is an award-winning film. Actually, I think there were about 1,000 entries in this film festival, and this film, actually a DVD, but got the best documentary for last year. The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, you'll never see it mentioned in the controlled media. Why? Because it takes you into the secret societies that were here when America was first founded. And you'll certainly want to see that. And then you'll want to see the next one in the series that'll be out first of next year, or maybe the end of December. And of course, it was much of this is filmed in Washington, D.C., to show you the Masonic influence in Washington, D.C. We carry, of course, Overson's book, The Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, and so much information on this world occult movement that permeates every aspect of our society today. If you'd like to see how it begins to fit together, let me suggest you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and pull down our August and September, and soon to be posted August, September, October newsletters to understand how these people control our country. All of the secret societies and semi-secret societies and ruling societies are founded in the occult. The Council on Foreign Relations came out of a secret society that was organized in 1921. And, of course, that was a front for something known as the Round Table, which was a front for the secret society that Cecil Rhodes created. And Cecil Rhodes was a Mason, as were the people who were there with him. And, of course, one of them, of course, was a Theosophist. And Theosophy was a Luciferian society. That was William Stead. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You can see the DVD or the video and really begin to get a grasp on how this fits together. It's a primer. It'll introduce you to a whole different world. But you see, we have to educate people, and this is the time to do it. Well, I do want to mention, of course, that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. And if you really would like to know more what's going on, we hope you'll go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. We hope that many of you will decide you'd like to help and support the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and you can do that simply by calling us at 1-800-544-8927 if you'd like to get a free newsletter. We have them. If you'd like to learn more about the Berkey products, which do help to keep us on the air, if you'd like to get our health catalog, or our certainly our emergency food catalog, and everybody should be making preparations because we're moving into very difficult times. And you're going to have to be prepared to look after yourself and your family. And, of course, in the final analysis, you should look to God. But we certainly should do everything we can. We should act as if it's up to us and pray as if it's up to God. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you, the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, hopefully this next hour, there'll be the views of Tal Brook. And Tal is a fascinating gentleman. He comes from family of dad was a diplomat. He was trained at Princeton. He was certainly, one of the young hippies who went off, into LSD and taking trips, to try to find himself and come in contact with the other dimension. He went off to India, where he was actually recruited by Sai Baba, who was one of the leading mystics in India. And Tal was being trained to become the major missionary for Sai Baba and this mystic religion to the United States, when, of course, he fell into the hands of some Christian missionaries and suddenly came to a personal encounter with our Lord Jesus Christ. And since then, of course, he's been working here in the United States through an organization called the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. And if you do not get his material, we can recommend it to you. Well, of course, covers a great deal of the material that we do. These secret societies, like the Theosophical Society, and the Rosicrucians, and of course the Lucius Trust, and the new group of world servers, and all sorts of organizations you've probably not heard about. And yet, of course, if you go into the financing of the new group of world servers, you'll find the most wealthy people in America are involved in financing an organization which is a front for the Lucius Trust, which is a Luciferian organization founded by Alice Bailey, who was a disciple of Helena Petrovna Blavatsky, who was a frank Luciferian. And when you begin, of course, to understand what we're up against, why you can begin to understand why we go from war to war. And, of course, right now our job is to try to get people to take a serious look at what's going on and hopefully begin to evaluate their personal relationship with our Lord, because what we're really facing is the destruction of America as we know it. I believe, of course, that Lucifer intends to destroy America once he's used this country, to foster his goals to bring all nations under the control of a world government. I believe God, of course, being a just God, is going to bring punishment on this world, on this country, because the good people, the Christians of this country, have not been willing to take a stand and become involved. Well, our job is to try to teach you about this spiritual battle, about the organizations that are out there, and how these people of great wealth have accumulated great power and great prominence by selling their soul to the devil. Now, if you'd like documentation that this sort of thing goes along, why, we have some excellent DVDs or videos. The 3-hour, the 4-hour, or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. And, of course, it's dealing with the rock and roll industry, but it's exactly the same thing in politics today, in industry today, many times even in government service today. You go over to the dark side, you're going to do very, very well. But, of course, at the price and the cost of your eternal salvation. So our plea to you is, don't simply discount what we're saying, but check the facts. Read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Read Tal's book, which we carry, One World, and of course his book, Avatar of Night, is the story of his conversion, his experience in India as the disciple of Sai Baba. Fascinating book. Both are available by Radio Liberty by calling 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America, our value, our future, are under attack today. Well, Tal, how are you tonight?
Oh, doing
good except for where things are going. Other than that, great.
Well, you know, I of course, a lot of people get very discouraged as they see things where they're going. And I say, look, this is the best thing that's going to happen. People are going to wake up as long as we've got Monday Night Football and there are plenty of potato chips. And things are going to have to get a lot worse before they get better. In fact, I like to say, you know, really worse is better because only when people begin to lose some of the comforts we have, we get to realize that their very future is at stake and the survival of Western civilization is at stake. Only then are they going to begin listening to radicals like you and me.
Yep. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think people are waking up. I mean, by the way, just this is a sideline, but a lot of our conservative friends have been saying the dollar's going to plummet. And it dropped just in one day, I guess 2 days ago, to the lowest level it's been in 15 years. Now, we've talked about fiat paper and Ben Bernanke and deficit spending and outsourcing. And of course the national debt. And this is evidence of what we've been talking about.
Sure. And of course, but what has happened is, of course, that these wicked people have created a totally fiat money system where they're able to create money out of nothing and then buy the support of world leaders, reward themselves and their friends with money that they've created out of nothing to be able to buy up industries and newspapers and publishing houses.
Yep.
That's why today over 90% of the entire media in the United States is owned by five mega corporations.
That's right. Yep. And you're not going to get the straight news from them. They actually control the news, and that's why some of the internet alternatives, people are turning to them a lot more. And a lot of the big papers are losing readers because people know it's kind of, you know, it's been dumbed down and it's been sanitized, and they've had spin artists deal with it, and so they're not really getting the news. And I think we're an example, one of many, you and I, the possibility of people getting another perspective than the spinmeisters, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. In fact, I think that your publications and certainly the Spiritual Counterfeit Project publications are an excellent source of information done by in a very, very professional manner by top-notch scholars to begin to bring out the truth about what's really going on.
Yeah, and by the way, I know when we talked earlier, I'm not sure you got it, and I'll send you one first-class mail. But the recent one, people have been ordering by tens. In fact, it's called From Liberty to Leviathan.
Hold that thought.
Oh, sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we got Talbrook on the line right now, and he runs an organization known as the Spiritual Counterfeit Project, and he's talking about his latest publication. It's more than just a magazine. But it's done on slick paper, and it's done with beautiful graphics. But it's called, what is it, From the Leviathan to what is it?
Well, the one that just came out that people have been buying in groups of 10, that's the one I was hoping you would get from our mailing house, Stan, but I'm not sure you did get it, but I'm going to mail it to you first class. It's called From Liberty to Leviathan, The War on Freedom. Not the war on terrorism, but the war on freedom. And that's kind of what we're talking about today. All the incredible sort of things that have happened from the Patriot Act to this Military Commissions Act to gosh, so many things going on that have redefined America more than, I'm going to go ahead and say, more than an outside communist invasion that people were terrified of in the 50s. We've actually, in a very real sense, de facto sense, lost more freedoms under this sort of benign pretense of, you know, we're trying to help you now. We're trying to, you give us your liberties and we'll, you know, we will give you peace and we'll give you security. And under that one, we have actually lost more freedoms than any war ever.
And, of course, the whole thing is the idea we're going to protect you from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who used to work for the CIA, and we're going to do that by passing the Patriot Act and the Office of Homeland Security Act and the Model State Emergency Health Powers Act. And the Military Commission Act, and of course, the latest abomination is the John Warner National Defense Act. And mm-hmm. basically, between those five acts,
yep.
they've laid the blueprint for a military dictatorship in America.
Yeah, they have big time. I know that, for instance, I mean, you and I have talked about the Patriot Act, and that's just grisly and horrible. I mean, that alone, and the fact that these people are using benign titles like patriots. So you're not, what you mean, you're not a patriot if you don't accept this act, do you question it? And with the Military Commissions Act, we've really given the government carte blanche to treat us today, believe it or not, worse than King George III treated us in 1776. Because, you know, in this act, originally people thought, well, you know, they looked the other way, and they said, well, this only applies to aliens, okay? This isn't us citizens. This is aliens. Well, even if that were true, we've just turned our back on the Geneva Convention, our own Constitution, our own Bill of Rights, okay? Then we're creating a subclass of people who are tried by different laws. But in fact, I have the whole PDF file, Stanley, the whole act, 38-plus pages. Now, you know, listen to me. When you get, and everyone listening, come on, when you get a new Visa card, okay, and they send you a 20-page little pamphlet in microtype, maybe 5-point, 6-point type, do you really read that or do you throw it away? Come on, be honest with me now. With this act, we have over 38 pages of legalese, but Stanley, here's the deal. If you look closely by page 30, they've opened the doorway to what we thought that it only applied to aliens, and they have redefined it so an unlawful combatant is anyone. Okay, we can walk through this bit by bit, but this is where this thing goes.
And, of course, I think, first of all, people have to understand that this bill authorizes torture.
Yes,
not
it
only
does.
It authorizes torture, but retroactive torture. If you tortured somebody before this bill came in, you could never be prosecuted or punished for torturing.
Yeah, and it, the other thing it does is it puts Bush, you know, the president executive, you know, in the imperial, the sort of imperial executive, above the law. So all of his screw-ups, he can't be impeached now if they accept this act, because he'll say, look, I'm covered. You say I really am above the law. But, I mean, Stanley, under this act, Listen to this. You do not have the right to a speedy trial. Number one, you can be held indefinitely without being charged or being tried. Yeah. Doesn't that sound like the Soviet Union to you? And wasn't that, tell me something, wasn't that what Solzhenitsyn wrote about in his Gulag Archipelago, wasn't it?
Right, and of course they've done away with the right of habeas corpus.
Oh, and that's a big one. We can't just tell them about it. We got to tell them what habeas corpus is in a second. But let me go to point two. You do not have the right to remain silent against self-incrimination. They can actually, and you've already mentioned this, they can torture you. And actually, a lot of people sing like a canary, and every study on torture says to end the thing, people say anything, right? Does that sound right?
And then they
they'll confess the landing on the moon and saying, I swear to you, on the moon, it was all blue cheese. They'll say anything under torture.
And then they can use the torture evidence in the court.
That's correct.
I mean, that's the incredible thing.
Unbelievable.
Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders, Tal? Where are our Christian leaders saying
this is wrong? They've been
compromised.
I really think the state of the church is, the water level is lower than it's ever been in history. They've never been more dumbed down. I thought with holy laughter, that's as far as it would go, but there's just weirder stuff happening. They're hypnotized, they're navel-gazing, their heads are in the sand. Most of the Christians, honestly, Stanley, it's like they've been beguiled. It's like some strong delusion or something. Let me mention this. You do not have the right to your own lawyer. The military appoints one of their lawyers to you.
And, of course, if he does a good job, that's the end of his career. That's what happened to one of the... And that's what happened to one of the lawyers down at Guantanamo. He got this case, you know, he felt this man was being poorly treated. He got it to the Supreme Court. He won the case, and that ended his military career. That's a pretty good message for any military officer who wants to stay in. If you do the right thing, you do the moral thing, why, your military career is over.
Yeah, and that's a key point. Okay, continuing in its outright assault of our Constitution, this new law also says, as we said, that all evidence is admissible no matter how it was obtained, even if it was without a search warrant. I mean, aside from torture. Okay, and by the way, there's a new thing I want to get into later about what happens with laptop computers when you're at airport security. Just remind me of that one. That's another little thing that leaked out the other day. Not from this act, but from another, from a federal judge. Can I recap this for a second?
Go right ahead.
You can be arrested and jailed indefinitely without being charged or tried. You do not have the right to remain silent. You get one of their lawyers, not your own. You can be tortured. Government can search and seize without a search warrant now. And evidence obtained without a search warrant is therefore and then admissible in these military commission trials. Now, I mean, these are not trials by jury. This is a whole new paradigm. Am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
But, you know, the most significant thing about this, Tal, is it excludes the court system from interfering at all. In other words, you have a military commission that's appointed to try you. You can say, well, I'm a citizen. I'm not. You can't do this.
No, but
well, you how are you going to prove you're a citizen when you cannot get into court? And the court system, the judges cannot intervene with these military commissions. In other words, they are above the laws of our land.
That's true, but they even, look, Stanley, you're right. And there's even another little thing here that everyone missed when they thought it only applied to aliens, but you have to get to page 30 or 31. I have the whole act. I have the whole PDF here. Are you ready for this?
Right.
Okay. On in section 948A, and in the chapters called Unlawful Enemy Combatant, the term unlawful enemy combatant means a person who's engaged in hostilities or is purposely and materially supported hostilities against the United States or its co-belligerents. A person. Part 2, a person. It's no longer saying an alien. See the clever twist here? A person who, before and after the date of the enactment of the Military Commissions Act, has been determined to be an unlawful enemy combatant. You can determine anyone to be an unlawful enemy combatant.
But they never told us that, huh?
No, they didn't. And so there you have it. The first definition in the law defines unlawful enemy combatant as a person, anyone, anywhere. So later the definitions describe an alien and state its definitions, of course, an alien, of course, who is not a citizen of the United States. But when they twist this around in section 948A, well, they now can say any alien unlawful enemy combatant is subject to trial, but then an enemy combatant is a person, any person. So it's in the further reading that Congress cunningly puts every American citizen on the hook. You got to get to page 31.
And of course, most people give up about page 15.
Page 6, to be honest.
And of course, the thing is, if we put our whole Declaration of Independence into one page, you can put the whole Constitution onto one page. And they've got how many pages for this?
Well, this is over 38 pages. Let me open it up again, I'll tell you.
Well, I think this is what they do, ladies and gentlemen. How many of our senators and congressmen do you
read? 38 pages.
How many pages?
38.
And most of them have never read the legislation. Had a friend of mine who wrote a book one time. He was a senator. He said, you don't really think we read those bills, do you?
It's
and
scary.
That's what it's all
no,
about.
No, they're offered to a lobster meal and more bribe money from a lobby.
Well, Tal, go right ahead.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's what I was saying earlier. When whatever your Visa card or MasterCard company is, whether it's Citibank or one of the MBNA, when they send you your card in like this 20-page thing with 6-point type, I'm going to ask you now, how many people read it? The whole thing, I mean. And understand it. Not only read it, but understand it. You need to be a lawyer. I'm going to tell you 2%. This is a guess. I don't really know. With this act, it's really no different. I guarantee that most of the country have not read this act. They haven't. And it's 38 pages long. It's longer than the stuff you get with your Visa card. You know? And they play with the language. They redefine, I mean, all right, whoever means whoever. Remember we were saying a minute ago, well, who's an... Okay, tell me who an enemy combatant is. All right, for a while they say he's an alien. Okay, that pacifies everyone. Of course, an alien is a non-citizen, but, and that's a problem in itself. We've changed America doing that to a non-citizen, okay? But then you can redefine the enemy combatant on another level is anyone who, listen, I'm going to read it to you now, part 26. Wrongfully aiding the enemy. Now let me go through this. Any person subject to this chapter who, in breach of an allegiance or duty to the United States, knowingly and intentionally aids an enemy, shall be punished as a military under this chapter. Let me say something. The only people in the world who can commit a breach of allegiance or duty to the United States are Stanley, U.S. citizens. We're the only ones who have such an allegiance or duty. You're with me on that one, right?
Right, right.
So let me repeat it. The only people in the world who can commit a breach of allegiance or duty to the United States are U.S. citizens. We'll go back again to page 31, section 26. Wrong, they mention all the things that will define an enemy combatant. One of them is wrongfully aiding the enemy. Now we bring in the U.S. citizens. Here we go again. Any person subject to this chapter 26 who, in breach of an allegiance or duty to the United States, knowingly and intentionally aids an enemy of the United States or one of its co-belligerents of the enemy, shall be punished as a military commission under this chapter.
And so basically that means any American who's critical of our government, and by being critical of our government,
yes,
you're aiding the enemy.
Yeah. Now remember another thing that we've seen only since this administration, and that is when Nixon was in power, you could protest anywhere, and you saw it everywhere. You saw it, you know, from Kent State, which of course the shooting, to the Pentagon, to right there on the D.C. Mall. But what we've seen under the present occupier of the White House are free speech zones where people are wired off to protest, and they're kept far, far away from his limos and his entourage, okay? You remember these free speech zones where people protesting behind fences? Remember that?
Right.
For Bush? That implies, of course, that every other area is not a free speech zone. You can't say...
Hold that right there, Tom.
Yeah.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. I guess it's Tal Brook, and of course we're talking about really what the legislation says, and as Tal points out so well, basically it says that anybody, of course, who breaks their allegiance, in effect, to the United States... Well, the only person who could break their and not have, break their allegiance to the United States or act contrary to their allegiance to the United States, he's a United States citizen.
Yes.
And of course, that is what they're not telling you, and of course, this is what everybody has missed, is that it doesn't matter what this says in the first part of the act, they change it at the end, towards the end of the act,
yes,
and now it is anybody that they declare to be a military combatant, and the military commission will decide who that is, and now you're under military rule. And they're talking about right here in the United States.
Yeah, with citizens. Now, you know, now here's another thing about this act. People think it only applies to what we would call acts of terrorism. But then they begin to list the offenses other than terrorism, which can now be handled by the military commissions. Okay, pay attention to some of these offenses. Of course, murder of protected persons. Boy. And they can tell you, see, now we get into word definition. Murder of protected persons, and you can be an enemy of combatant, which means you no longer have constitutional. You're no longer innocent till proven guilty. You no longer have the protection of the Bill of Rights or the Constitution. If this is true, who are protected persons? And they can define who they are. Attacking civilians. Okay? You can take that either way. Attacking civilian objects. Okay, any person subject to this chapter intentionally engages in an attack upon a civilian object that is not a military objective shall be punished by as a military commission under this chapter. It's double talk. It could be anything. It gives them free rein. It's what happened to our Constitution starting under FDR when Felix Frankfurter and Brandeis used philology to redefine ordinary words, and they called it a living document. Once you get into that mindset, the words that I'm now reading you can come out in any configuration. Attacking protected property. Pillaging. I'm just going to read on. Denying quarter. Taking hostages. Well, what happened? I mean, people rob banks and they take hostages. Now that can be seen as enemy combatant activity, right? Employing poison or similar weapons, using protected persons as a shield, using protected property as a shield, torture, which, of course, we now do, of course.
I mean, it's all right for us to torture, but not the other guys, is that it?
Yeah, that's right. Intentionally causing serious bodily injury, mutilating or maiming. So there's a long list of things beyond just your ordinary terrorism. Murder in violation of the law of war, destruction of property in violation of the law of war, using treachery or perfidy, improperly using a flag of truce, improperly using a distinctive emblem, intentionally mistreating a dead body, rape, sexual assault, or abuse. Hey, you can now apply this anywhere from L.A. to you name the place. And then the last one, number 23, hijacking or hazarding a vessel or aircraft. Oh, geez, okay. Number 24, terrorism. Wow, that's quite a list. If you notice, they listed terrorism as the final offense that the military commissions would deal with.
Well, because all of this really, in the name of fighting terrorism, is simply a fraud. I mean, if they
were
really...
that's why we did the journal that we call the war on, not on the war on terror, but the war on what? On freedom.
And that's really what it's all about.
That's what it's all about.
And they're using the threat of terrorism to take away our freedom. And this is not talking about what's going to happen in Iraq or Afghanistan.
Yeah.
This is all about what's going to happen in the United States.
Department of Homeland Security. Now, they might call it security or homeland oppression. Okay.
And I think it's so important that people understand that the John Warner National Defense Appropriations Act
maybe you could
the
talk about that
Comitatus law.
Well, the thing is, I don't have info on that. I've got this all these other acts, but I want to hear from you about what Warner has done. But can I mention one thing?
You can do whatever you want to. Nobody's in charge here.
Well, once they declare any of us to be enemy combatants, and you know, of course, folks, Stanley knows what I'm talking about, okay, but this is for all of us. So once they declare any of us to be enemy combatants, our constitutional rights go out the window. Our any ability to appeal to the courts goes out of the window. And it's, look, things are just back where they existed in 1776.
Hold it, be right back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Tal Brook of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. And of course, Tal is pointing out what everybody should understand, and that this legislation has the potential to apply to everybody listening to this program. Because you are a person. You don't have to be an alien,
yeah,
a non-citizen, a person. And, of course, what they've done is suddenly, in the middle of this act, they've changed the definition of who it applies to.
Yeah, this is the sleight of hand. This is how you con people. This is how lawyers can do it. This is how you get O.J. Simpson off, even if they have the DNA evidence. I mean, this is what our legal system has done. And so with this clever double talk, it's only near the end of this long document that you're no longer talking about aliens, but you're talking about anybody, okay? So once they declare any of us to be enemy combatants, someone can call you an enemy combatant, and then your constitutional rights go out the window. Our ability to appeal to the courts goes out the window. And things are just like they existed in 1776 when we suffered the tyranny of King George III. That's what the big American Revolution was really all about. My ancestors and yours. My ancestors fought the American Revolution. This is tyranny. This is absolute despotism. And under the incredibly mediocre intelligence of, to me, a man not worthy of the White House, he may talk right, he may walk like a duck, but he's not a real conservative. Not at all, not this guy. He's done it, or the people behind him. He's the puppet. And you may remember our forefathers violently overthrew King George in 76 because citizens were treated just like this.
Well, unfortunately, Tal, today, why, of course, with the power that the military has and the weapons they have to paralyze people,
who can make war?
We need to get the American people to understand what the problem is. The last thing we want to do is take up arms because they'd simply shoot you down like a dog.
Yeah. That's under the new weapons, and I study them every four months, there's some new horror that comes out, and there's some really heavy things that are out there.
With satellites
and the ability to track people, especially with the new chips that they want to inject, pretty soon you're going to be just like the protagonist in Orwell's 1984, Winston, where you may have a couple of square inches where you can whisper to yourself, and that's all the freedom you're going to have.
Will you hang on there, Tal? We'll be back in just a moment with Tal Brook. Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest, Tal Brook of the Spiritual Counterfeits Project. And before we go on, Tal, I want you to get your website out, your telephone number, so people will know how to get in touch with you.
Yeah. Now, it's tonight, so your calling here won't do any good. Now, the SCP number to our switchboard in Berkeley, California is 510-540-0300. We also have a counseling line, and you can call the main number, and they'll tell you what it is. And then we have stuff on the website, and really, I think the most relevant journal we've done, we did one called When the State Becomes God, and we have several others, but the one that's really hot off the press is From Liberty to Leviathan, The War on Freedom. It's a 76-page double journal with graphics. We're charging $7 for it, which ain't too much considering. And so you can order it over the phone that way. You have to get the staff live. Or those of you who are web savvy, we have a very secure web ordering thing where you can do a Master, Visa card, whatever, right on our webpage. Put in the shopping cart and then check out, and we'll mail it to you. And that, our web address is HTTP, of course, www, of course, dot, and here it is, scp-inc, that stands for incorporated, .org, that stands for organization, www.scp-inc.org. It's that simple. And then the you know, over 70 or so journals and double that number of newsletters we've done over a 30-year period. And we go back, we've handled just incredible numbers of subjects, but this one we're talking about right now is very relevant for your survival and my survival. I happen to love America. I'm a real patriot. And that means when I see the kind of shenanigans going on in legalese that Stanley and I are talking about, you should be concerned if you're a real patriot. And you should be concerned when the language mongers call you a non-patriot for questioning this. In other words, when they accuse you, they call you names for being, say, you're subversive. No, not at all. You read the original founders who gave us the Constitution and Bill of Rights. We are called to question anyone who destroys the Constitution, destroys the Bill of Rights. Believe me, what Stanley and I are talking about, all these things that the present regime has passed, like the Military Commissions Act, like the Patriot Act, are absolute assaults on our liberty. And once it goes, folks, it's gone. Know what I mean? It's gone. It's gone forever.
Well, I remember what Tom Paine said, tyranny like hell is not easily conquered.
Yeah,
tyranny like hell is not easily.
No, that's correct, and I think our people are so flabby that once the tyranny comes in, we're going to have a bunch of jelly balls. I mean, we not only have an obesity problem physically, I think a lot of people are spiritually, mentally, and morally obese. They're jelly beans ready to be, and it may be fine lying down, but when someone's barking orders at you and giving directions and you balk, and they're the one holding the club, there's nothing you can do. You're out. You've had it. That's what's happening in Guantanamo and countless other prisons. They have no dignity. They have no appeal.
And, of course, the frightening thing about this legislation, the Military Commission Act, is you have no recourse to the courts.
No.
You have no right to
no.
a habeas corpus.
Right. Tell them what habeas corpus is.
Well, of course, that means bring forth the body. In other words, tyrants have always used this technique. If you just take their opposition, you throw them in jail. And habeas corpus is something that's been around for hundreds of years.
Well, it comes from the Magna Carta, but right. Tell them what it really means and implies.
Bring forth the body.
Okay, but they don't know what you mean.
You go ahead and explain it.
Well, for one thing, you cannot be jailed without representing being incarcerated is illegal. What it does is it stops the hands of Big Brother. It's your ultimate right as an individual not to be interrogated, not to be jailed, not to have anything done to you without legal appeal. Would that be right, Stanley?
Right. And the thing is that you can only hold a person a certain length of time before you bring them forward and get them indicted or charged.
Yeah.
Under this, you have the right to be charged.
And then there's posse comitatus, which is similar.
Well, posse comitatus really has to do with the use of the military against the American
citizens.
That's right. That's the John Warner Act.
We saw that happen when the FBI sniper, Ridge, you know?
Ruby Ridge. Right.
That's where we saw posse comitatus slam dunked.
Well, of course, no, that was not the military. That was basically
that was the FBI.
Though. No, it was at Waco where they used the military. At least they used military tanks, and they had the military training of the BATF to go in there and kill those people. But what most people do not know, and we cover it in a video we have, people who talk to the people from the special forces, and they send in a special force team to murder the women and the children and kill all those men. Every one of them had a bullet in the back of the head.
Yep.
But the average American has never heard what really happened at Waco. But if they could get rid of
that. Well, that's why we talk about it now and then, because that's a trial run of maybe how many years in the future, and maybe not that far away once all these acts are put in force, and there is no more appeal. They can do that anywhere in the country, at any group, any time, without creating a cult-like drama. Remember with David Koresh. Remember that.
Right.
I mean, they demonized Koresh so that people could accept it as happening. The interesting thing is, I was watching the CNN original. I saw it live on CNN, and then I never saw a repeat of those images. But what I saw live, I wish I had recorded it, was when they jammed the front of what looked like a tank with a flamethrower in there, and it blasted in flame, and it backed out, dripping liquid flame. Did you ever see that?
No, I never did.
I did. I saw it live.
Well, I think that I have no question that anybody would. We have this video. It's called Waco, A New Revelation. And several people who talked to the people from the special forces, the murderers who went in there to kill the women and children. And that
unbelievable.
Is
I mean, this is America. Let me ask you something. Now, I haven't looked at John Warner. I guess I'm looking at so many fronts so much that I can't get all of it. But tell me, can you tell us about the implications? What's in that John Warner thing?
Well, basically what the John Warner is, it says that the president has the right, if there is an epidemic, if there is a disaster.
Oh, the martial law thing.
It is basically, or, of course, if there's certainly a disruption of society, to actually, number one...
Like an election, maybe. I don't know. I'm joking. But I mean, like an election. Well, according to Bush, that's a disruption. They had an election. Sorry about that.
Basically, what it is that now he can mobilize the National Guard and take them away from the state. Now, traditionally, the National Guard was under the control of the state government.
That's right.
And the president could not use the National Guard without the permission of the state governor.
Correct.
Now,
oh,
he
that leaked
the permission of the state governor. Not only that, but he can use the military forces against American citizens. That was outlawed back in the 1800s after the Civil War.
Well, that was Posse Comitatus, wasn't it?
That's with Posse Comitatus. And this negates the Posse Comitatus law. And as Senator Patrick Leahy of Vermont has said, this encourages the president to declare martial law.
Yes, it does.
And this is the frightening thing about this legislation. And many of the liberal senators are speaking out against it. And you're not going to hear anything at all about it from the controlled media in America.
No, you're not. But the really scary thing is that, you know, I'm a real conservative and have been since I returned from India. I'm not a neoconservative. I'm a real conservative. That means small government. That means something much different from what we're seeing under the duck walk and the banner of the neocons under Bush and all these other New World Order status. And I tell you, we even wondered if this last election wouldn't be the last election. You know what I mean?
Well, I'm very, very worried about what's going on. I think everybody should be.
We should be worried. So that's a very scary thing that Warner brought out. Oh, my heavens. All right, that's an end run around Posse Comitatus right there.
Well, they've been wanting to do this. You see, as I don't have to tell you, Tal, but for average citizen out there, they do not understand there really are people who want a dictatorship in America. They have a different worldview. They believe that there are certain people who are entitled to rule over the rest of us, and the whole idea of our Constitution limited what they could do. Now they can do whatever they want to in the name of protecting us from the wicked Osama bin Laden, who, of course, has worked for the CIA.
Yes.
Probably has been long since dead. Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter at all.
He has them out there. We see his picture all the time. We hear a new tape, and they always tell us that the CIA guarantees this is Osama bin Laden. You can hear him speak in Arabic. And then they tell you what he said, and you honestly believe what you're told. Our reality is created by the people
mm-hmm.
who control the media.
Yes, that's right. By the way, I've got you and I were talking about habeas corpus, and I have a quote from a U.S. Supreme Court justice, Supreme Court 1866 ruling ex parte Milligan defending the right of habeas corpus, and basically it says, this nation, as experience has proved, cannot always remain at peace and has no right to expect it would always have wise and humane rulers sincerely attached to the principles of the Constitution. Wicked men, ambitious of power, with hatred of liberty and contempt of law, may fill the place once occupied by Washington and Lincoln. If this right is conceded, habeas corpus, and the calamities of war again befall us, the dangers to human liberty are frightful to contemplate. 1866.
I would really like to have a copy of that.
It's in the journal. It's on page 24 of our new journal.
Well, I'm really looking forward to
it. I'm going to airmail it to you. Don't worry about it. I'm going to say
really
first class. Now, I'm shocked that you didn't get it because you're on the special list. And as I said, people have been calling and ordering 10 copies.
Well, I think it's so important that people understand the implications of these two pieces of legislation put together. They are a blueprint for dictatorship. Why would they do it just at this time, you know, in mid-October, and this was put through in the middle of the night with little or no debate, and no opportunity for the people to vote their displeasure with this, and it's always passed in the name of, oh my goodness, we've got to protect the people from the wicked Osama bin Laden, from the threat of Islamic terrorism, and yet they have never sealed the border. They still have the catch and release program. They do not check the cargo that goes onto the planes.
It's an insult to people's intelligence, because the truth is that the whole area of Iraq and that area of the Middle East, and certainly under Saddam Hussein, couldn't have begun to attack America with his Spud missiles and other stuff in 10,000 years. They don't have it. This is a contrived situation. And, of course, if we're so fearful of what's happening, I mean, you and I can talk about 9/11, and I've got some real grim feelings about it. I think they knew about it. At minimum, they allowed it to happen to put into motion what we're seeing right now. If there really was a bad terrorist threat, why haven't, you've heard me say this on this program, you just beat me to it, why haven't they sealed the borders? We got 10 million illegals. You know, any so-called terrorist would, simple coming through. No, it's controlling the American citizens. That's what this is about. Look, I told you I was in the Dallas airport, this is about 3 months after 9/11, and they virtually body slammed an 80-year-old woman in front of me and checked her out. Grandma here, do you think she's going to carry a nuke? No, they're getting people like cattle ready to basically give up the securities and liberties and freedoms that we've had for 200 years. Let me mention, this is a heavy quote, but I'm going to lay it on you. It's Merle Haggard, folks. He says, it's on page 27 of our journal. In 1960, when I came out of prison as an ex-convict, I had more freedom under payrollee supervision than is available to an average citizen in America right now. Good God, what have we done to each other? Merle Haggard said this in 2000.
Well, tell us
when
about,
I came
tell us
out
about.
Of prison, I had more freedom under payrollee supervision than there's available to an average citizen in America right now. What have we done to each other? Merle Haggard.
Tell us about your laptop. You were going to tell us that story.
Well, okay, this is another thing that bothers me. I travel a fair amount. And what happened, let me get this thing up. All right, the laptop thing just came out. I'm a member of the Sovereign Society, another group of conservatives, basically, who are looking at America, and many of them are libertarian conservatives, and a lot of them have moved to other countries, to be honest with you. But basically, thanks to a decision from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals, okay, customs officials from now on can seize and copy the contents, folks, listen to me, of any laptop carried across a U.S. border. You with me on this one?
Right.
There's no arrest, no warrant, or probable cause required. It's just a gimme. Do you understand? So it's like, of course, a laptop these days can carry 10,000 notes, whether notes to your girlfriend or private things or emails to your wife at home or your brother over, you know what I'm saying, anything. even what they would call subversive emails, we really need to worry about the Patriot Act. You know, I think we need to vote so-and-so out. Boy, you know, and so they can scan and copy, listen, the entire contents of your laptop, whether it's credit card information, anything. It's all theirs. And this is a huge invasion.
Well, I'm concerned.
I mean, this new authority can be misused in ways too numerous to count.
But, Tal, they are monitoring all of our telephone calls.
We know that.
All of
anyway.
Our email transmissions,
yep.
All of our fax transmissions. They've been doing it long before 911.
Yep.
This is part of something known as Project Echelon.
That's right.
And, of course, now they're using the threat of terrorism to justify the fact they've been violating our laws.
You're right. And you
hang on there, we'll be
we
back.
We do this
in just
to each other all the time, folks. He got it right. He jumped right into it.
Our guest is Tal Brook of Spiritual Counterfeit Project. We recommend his material to you. We'll be back in just a moment to wrap up the program. Tal, I want you to get your telephone number and your website out one more time.
Oh, sure. Basically, the phone number here in Berkeley, and this is an organization that's, golly, it's over 30 years old, is the number's 510, don't call it now, it's nighttime, 510-540-0300. 510-540-0300 is the number of our organization. The web thing, and as I've said, we have secure shopping carts. We got a really bright, we got a lot of bright people on board, and our web guy is a real digital ace, but basically we have secure order on our web page and with a whole shopping cart technology and everything, and that is to get on our web page. It's just www.scp, Sam Cat Peter, SCP. -Inc. That stands for Incorporated. .org. That stands for Organization. Pretty simple. Or you can get on Google and look up Spiritual Counterfeits Project. If you can't do that, you'll go right here. We get lots of referrals over. And so, really, and I would tell you the latest journal that Stanley and I have been talking about, and I need to get him a copy somehow, maybe. Look, who knows why you didn't get your copy, Stan, but it's called From Liberty to Leviathan, The War on Freedom. And this is a huge article with graphics. I haven't managed to get I did the graphics for the article, and I did some of this stuff, but I managed to get for this article the latest shots of the new passports with the RFID chip, Stanley, where they imprint the chip between the pages, and basically what that means is a geosynchronous satellite knows where you are with your passport 24/7 within about 5 square feet. How's that for freedom?
Well, because the whole idea is to track every individual in the world.
What happened, what happened to King David when he counted the heads and God told him not to?
Well, of course, as you know, God
got the spanking of his life.
Blessing from him.
That's right. He got the spanking of his life.
Well,
this
we're out of
way,
time.
This is way beyond King David counting heads. This is an invasion. We're made in the image of God. This sets it up so that any tyrant or despot, very soon the chip, of course, is going to go from the passport into your body. That's another subject.
Hey, we're going to have to get you back again now. We're out of time, Tal.
Okay, we've
been
listen.
For hours. God bless you. Thanks
right,
for being
God bless
us.
And talk to you later.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Okay, that was Tal Brook. I hope you enjoyed it. Listen to what he says. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we're really dependent on those of you who listen to our programs to help us as we reach out 5 hours every day across America and about almost 60 outlets every week. Some of those are internet, shortwave, satellites, but we have a voice out there, and you can become part of it if you join the Radio Liberty family of supporters. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you want to know who really runs America, and how this all fits together from a spiritual perspective, let me suggest you go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. RadioLiberty.com pulled down our August and September newsletters, and October newsletters should be there very soon. You need, of course, to read those. You could either read my newsletters on the occult, or we have a pamphlet we put together in three pamphlets, which is a compilation of my newsletters on the occult forces, the sinister forces that deal with the other dimension, because, of course, there really is a spiritual dimension in the world. There are people who could breach that dimension between this dimension we live in, the material and the spiritual. And many of these people, of course, have sold their souls to the devil. Many of them are demonic beings manifesting themselves as human beings, or vice versa. Under any circumstances, you need to understand that there really are other forces out there, because a lot of things going on don't make sense unless you understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle with the agents of the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. Not imaginary, not make-believe. There really are people who can contact the other dimension, and there are people who have actually sold their souls to the devil and are working for his goal. And what is the devil's goal? To bring about a one-world government and the destruction of Christianity. And when you understand that, everything makes sense. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Certainly the DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning, we recommend strongly. Material we have on the supernatural, four tape sets on the supernatural. Let me suggest Malachi Martin's excellent book, Hostage to the Devil. And, of course, this is a book he wrote in the early 80s, and you can get that by itself or in combination with our four tape set, Interviews with Malachi Martin, The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. You get the two of them together and the Malachi Martin special. And then, of course, we have certainly the book The Beautiful Side of Evil, written by a woman who is a medium, Johanna Michelson. And, of course, the four tape set on the supernatural has 2 hours of interviews with her, with Johanna, that have 2 hours with Craig Heimbichner, who writes about or speaks about Aleister Crowley. We have a book on Aleister Crowley, one of the leaders of modern-day Satanism. The book is called Blood on the Altar. And although there are a few things in the book that I disagree with, we have a little disclaimer in it. Most of the material is excellent and will lead you into an understanding of the truly satanic nature of what we're up against. We carry a book called Diary of a Devil Hunter. And, of course, we have so much more going into Masonry. You need to understand that Masonry is a Luciferian organization. Most Masons don't know that. Most Masons are good people, but they're deceived. And you need to explain to them what's going on. The dualistic philosophy of certainly laid out in Albert Pike's book or in other books written for Masons. But, of course, what they're really telling them, there's two gods. There's the real God, and then there's the God that the Christians worship. When you understand that, it all begins to make sense. Because there really are people who dream a different dream, who march to a different drumbeat, who worship a different God. Well, remember again our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Certainly our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. But please pray for our ministry of Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. Because we're on the front lines of this battle for the survival of Western civilization and the souls of men.
Tuned to the Global Star.